you're a guest, I want to also say welcome. And I'm Terry. I'm the pastor here. Normally I speak, but I want to introduce a good friend, John Sapp, so that those of you who don't know John won't spend the first 5 minutes saying, who is this dude and why is he talking? And so John's and Priscilla, their kids are geographically separate members of River. They're also missionaries in Central Asia. And John was John and Priscilla were missionaries in Africa, East Africa, for 28 years. And K-State grad, got his PhD from Southwestern Seminary. Now he works with churches in Kansas and Nebraska, helping us reach campuses and also reach our communities with the gospel. A good friend, and we're grateful that he's come and going to share with us this morning. So let me pray for John. God, thank you for John and Priscilla and just the privilege of friendship with them and their kids and their grandkids and how you've connected us. We pray in Jesus' name you would speak to us this morning. We need to hear from you to know how to live. So would you speak to us? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Terry. I tell you, it's always good to be with the River family. And guess what? I like teenagers. I can't call you kids. I like this, whatever we're calling you guys right now. And how many of you know about Super Summer? Anybody know about that thing? It's coming up. Yeah, I see some hands. I go to Super Summer every week, and you guys are going to be there here at week one. And those of you that are going to be juniors or going to be a senior, make sure you plan to get in on my free pizza, okay? It's on Tuesday night. K-State's coming, and we call it Collegiate Day at Super Summer. And I really like it. So just seeing a bunch of kids is great. This morning, we're going to look at Psalm number 19, and I want it read. We're going to share in what Psalm 19 has to say for us, so
Psalm 19 for the director of music, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he pitches a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises to one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sin. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
So Psalm 19, you know, C.S. Lewis says, this is his favorite, said, he's gone, this is his favorite psalm. It's a capture of the reality that God wants to speak. You know, we have from Genesis that our whole existence, the world was created because God spoke. He spoke creation into being. And so looking at this psalm, it goes from the big to the little. It starts with the heavens, all that we see. And in those, the worlds around us, all it is in creation, all the universe, the sun, the moon, all of the worlds around us are there on display of God's glory. But then he goes from the big universe to the Word of God. And he defines it. He's going to take us clearly through six different ways he thinks about God's Word and what that does to transform his own heart, and then finally, the witness within ourselves. So he goes from the universe to the heart. And so let's get started with the universe. Look how it begins. Verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies above proclaim his handiwork. Terry mentioned that we lived in Africa, lived there 28 years, and we started out in the rural part of Zambia. And I could tell, after being there a short amount of time, the folks that enjoyed living in Africa because of one simple thing. This little thing right here. You know, if you wear this every day, and especially in Africa with the sunshine, you know what you have? It's not soon enough yet in the summertime. You get a nice little white spot right there because you got your watch on every day. But if you want to live in Africa, this thing's got to go because this thing will only drive you nuts because they tell time the way the psalmist is on, by the sun. So we would have our meetings, and I finally got used to it. I'd say, okay, I'll show up about here, and I'll be done about here. And that's how we all told time to each other. I'm glad I'm not doing that today because I'm probably starting about here, and you're hoping I'm going to end about here. But God's creative work on display all the time, communicating to us of his glory. You know, Paul, in the book of Romans, says we don't have an excuse. Everyone can see God's fingerprints on what he's made. Those fingerprints, first of all, let us know that God's desire to speak to us is continuous. You know, I like the way that the psalmist says David's talking about. He talks about the sun down there in verse 4 and 5. He says, in them, the sun's got a tent. He's in his little hut. And when he comes out, now y'all, you don't believe this. Some of you in this room are not going to like what I'm going to say. He comes out with the excitement of a bridegroom. He's just had a great first night. This is a honeymoon bed. And I mean, life is good. And we're going to spend the day racing across, a man of strength racing across the sky. And tomorrow morning, guess what? He's going to wake up just like that. You know, a shepherd who was out there in that, in nature, just a part of the world, you know, can you imagine if he just smiled? Now, some of you, you're like me. I'll wake up in the morning, we've got a window that faces the east. I like my window that faces the east because I know what the day's going to hold. I can tell, oh, we got an overcast sky. What do I get to see with the sun today? Now, we're not affected near like my African brothers with the sun, the moon, the weather that we have. But the African friends and even David, he dealt with nature just right there with him. Secondly, it's continuous. We have the sun, we have the moon at night, we have all that goes on. But secondly, God's creation is abundant. As he talks, as David explains it day to day, pours out speech, night to night, he reveals knowledge, the abundance of what God wants us to know. Now, all that gives me hope that not only is God going to use other ways to communicate to us, but from the very beginning, he's using creation to abundantly get our attention. There is no small message from God. The God who speaks has got all the creativity and wanting to communicate to every one of us, not only continually, but abundantly, and finally, universally. You know, I told you about telling time in Africa with the watch. Anywhere we go, I think that as you get into a culture and you understand a people, they're going to talk about the world around them. And so what they talk about, the stars. Now, I saw Jamin earlier. Jamin, are you in this room? Does he come to early or late? Jamin does come, right? The artist, Jamin, he's around here somewhere. I don't see him. Y'all, I love Jamin's art. You know, what Terry said is true. We're a part of your church. You just don't get to see us. But believe me, I know what's going on in River. I try to stay connected to you. We live in Topeka. But that process that Jamin went through of the decision of, do I stay with Christian Challenge at WSU or do I really follow the passion of my heart and pick up on art? I don't know about you all, but when I saw those paintings on the wall, I just went one more time and said, that's good, man. God, use this man. Because as he depicts what you all are going to be learning, enjoying a year of being in the Psalms together, just keep your eye on those paintings out there on the wall. And so, the psalmist wants us to capture that the worlds around us are on display with the glory of God. There's a guy that's got a little bit more technology than I do. His name's Louis Giglio. And Louis, getting ready for a meeting up in Minneapolis, he did some stuff to let us see how God wants to communicate through the worlds around us. Let's watch and see what Louis has to tell us.
And so not only do we have this amazing photograph, but we're determined to hear somebody speaking to us. And so through SETI and other highly advanced electromagnetic telescope programs, we're listening to the universe day and night. And I don't know if you know this or not, but when I say we, I mean we as in your tax dollars are paying large sums of money to build radio telescopes that circle the earth to continually listen to see if anybody out there is speaking to us. To date, we have not heard any intelligent life speaking back to us, but we have gotten something for our money, because when they aimed the radio telescopes at the Vela Pulsar, this is what they heard. And this is what this guy does 24/7, day and night, 365 days a year. This is what, from 1,000 light years away, the Vela Pulsar sounds like right now. This is it. Listen to this. Now, I don't know about you, but that blew me away. I'm thinking, wow. It's singing. The stars are singing to him. I recently stumbled on 47 Tuck. It's a beautiful cluster of stars. We'll show you the picture of it here. It's about 16,700 light years away from where we are. And you can see just this brilliant, it looks like a sort of, he shoved a lot of diamonds together into a pile. It's an unbelievable number of stars there. Look at these. They blow up that central place right there. And right now, tonight, while we're sitting in this room, the 16 recorded millisecond pulsars in 47 Tuck are making this sound right now. Beautiful. Who knew? You know, God has his own string section. Isn't that beautiful? And we just looked at 11 times a second pulsar and 16 millisecond pulsars, and you start seeing Psalm 48 come to life. But look down at verse 7. It says, "Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all deeps." And so I got to figure out what the whales sing. And so I start doing a little research and I go online to find the whale songs. And I just want to bring it to you, because some of you live in Minnesota and don't even know where an ocean is. And so the whale songs could sound like this right here. Take a listen.
Yeah.
I love it. It's Psalm 148 coming to life right in front of us tonight. That's what's happening in all creation. And I had this crazy idea, and I don't know if you know what a mashup is or not, but I had this crazy mashup idea. I had a friend who helped me with this little iPad program, and I'm not a DJ, but I just a little thing, just quickly, and I want you to see how this works. I brought this guy in. He's not somebody that we had going already, but I brought one guy in. You should be hearing him by now. I don't know. Are we on? Yeah, if we could get just a little more volume, that'd be great. Thank you very much. Just even a little more volume would be fantastic. Thank you. I'm kind of maxed out here. There we go. This guy, we didn't look at his picture. He's PSR BO329-54. And he's only rotating 1.5 times per second, which is not all that much, but we need him in our little experiment we're going to do here, okay? And then we had the Vela Pulsar. You remember the Vela Pulsar, right? So that's that guy. But that's a little too fast for what we're trying to do, so we're going to slow that down, okay? Now this is unedited. It's just two pulsars slowed down and put in sync with each other. It's not a real groovy crowd, I know, but I know where I am, but it's kind of groovy if you hear it. And some of you want to nod a little bit, but you don't know if that's allowed at a reform meeting, and so you just do as the Spirit leads. But isn't that cool? That's just two pulsars. And so we're going to put the millisecond guys in there, the ones you just heard. Here they come. People need it really clear, like, what are they singing? And we tried this, and you just got to know this is unedited. We just dropped this on, and this is what happened. This is what they might be singing. time. Just you and the whales. Just you and the whales.
Is that good or why? Yeah. I tell you. Right. That's to the Lord our God. And by the way, you all caught it at the beginning. You know, your tax dollars, my tax check I wrote, helps pay for those guys that think they're going to hear somebody talking. And guess what? They do. We get to hear the sound of the universe. So here we are in techno-crazy America, and we get to put a Louis Giglio thing up there, and we get to enjoy it, but you know what? I'll guarantee you, tonight in Africa, there will be people sitting under the tree as the moon comes up, and as night gets started, there will be people turning their attention toward a God who speaks. You know that David says there is no speech, nor are there words. His voice is not heard in the voice we're used to, but his silence goes out to the whole earth. He wants us to know he speaks. But you know, David doesn't leave it there. The next place of where he's going is that not only do the worlds around us display his glory, but his word before us is the means or the tool of our transformation. Reminds me, you know, when Jesus was trying to help the scribes and the Pharisees understand why he came, we get Luke 15. And Luke 15 is the definition of lostness from Jesus. And he tells three stories. You know, he tells about the shepherd, there's one sheep lost, and he tells about the bride who's lost one of her coins and she's looking for it. And then he tells the story of the prodigal son. And remember how that story goes. The prodigal son gets his inheritance, which is crazy. I'll guarantee you, any Middle Eastern father who listened to that parable said, oh no, it's not the way it is. Because if I give you your inheritance, that means you think I'm worth less. I'm like I'm dead already to you. So that son was the ultimate insult to his father. But Jesus tells a story where the younger son takes everything he had. He went and he squandered it. It's gone. And after he lived his life that he wanted to live, the only place he could get a job was taking care of a bunch of pigs. And as he's in the pig pen, feeding the pigs, he realized that what he has back home is better than what he's got here. And I think already David, without knowing Jesus' definition of lostness and being attracted to God's word, David says, oh no, what is transforming my life are these six definitions of what God's word is. Let's hear what he says. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect. It revives or is reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You don't write lines like that unless you've already experienced the transforming power of God's word. When God speaks to us, he wants us to embrace what he's saying. He wants us to listen to him. I really appreciate an author. He's a former pastor. He's now retired. He's living up in Montana right now. And many of you are going to know his work. It's Eugene Peterson. He translated or he did The Message. And what I like about The Message is he gets the deep things of God, and he can put them in ways that are kind of helpful for me to understand. So here's what The Message says. Let's talk through it. He says, the law is the revelation. It's what God wants to show us of himself. The revelation of the Lord is whole. and it pulls life together. Now, I don't know about you, but guess what? When I walked in the back door this morning early and got to hang out with Terry a little bit and play catch up, I didn't walk here with my life totally together. No, this afternoon we're going to go back home. We're going to go to Topeka. Tomorrow morning, I'll guarantee you, I'm going into an office. And in the next week or two, I have to deal with a major, major issue of what are we going to do on our college campuses? And I don't have an answer. It's not together. Right? I've got more staff that want to do work. And right now, dealing with Obamacare and dealing with our government, I'm in a place where I've got to do something new. And we've got to create a new way to do it. And it's not together. But guess what? I ask myself this question. Do I believe what David, when he's sitting on a hillside, and by the way, the scholars think this psalm was written when Saul is looking for him to kill him. So he's hiding out. I mean, he's running from the current king. He's already been named. He knows, he's been told that he is going to be the king. But while he's out there on that hillside, he's thinking, you know what God has already shown me? The revelation, the law of God. It's perfect. It's whole. It's complete. And it revives my soul, or it pulls me back together. You know, that's hope. That's hope for me, because sometimes I don't feel like I've got it together. No, I'm not. I'm in the middle of life. But the good news that we have from Psalm 19 is what God wants to do when he speaks to every one of us is to pull our lives together. Secondly, not only is the revelation perfect and whole, but the testimony. Now, I like testimony. I talk about testimonies all the time. But the way Eugene Peterson took that word is he said the signposts. You know, that's what testimonies are. This church is so good. I don't know all of you. I really wish if we lived in Wichita, I'll guarantee you where I'd be. I'd be right out there. We really enjoy River. But knowing the testimonies in this church, the signposts of God's glory, the signposts of God's work. I was responsible in Zambia. We started there, and I told you the wristwatch thing. I was a church planter in the eastern side of the country. Well, I got a new responsibility. My job was to discover new places to open work. So to work with the Zambian leadership and figure out where we don't have a missionary, there's no church up in a corner, and they were all over the country. And so we were headed up to Mongu, up in northern province with the Bimba people. And the Bimbas are pretty, they're warlike people. They're very, very proud of their history. And so Elliot Kaulu, and Elliot's not a Bimba, he's a Lamba, but Elliot and I get in a truck, and we take off on a road, and I've got a road map. And that road map's a good one. I got it from the government of Zambia. You'd think that they know what they're talking about. And so I'm working my way, and this is a two-day trip to get clear up towards Tanzania across Africa. There's not a highway out there. It's all dirt. We're just driving in dirt roads, working our way north. And I get to a town. It's not a village. There's a town. There's stores you can buy. In fact, we bought some cookies, and we got some bananas, and got some stuff in our truck. And I came to a fork in the road. Now, my map says that line goes straight, but there's a fork in the road here. So I took the advice of the map. There's no signposts out there, nothing telling me where to go, just I got a map. And so I take what I thought was the right way, and we keep driving, and I'm thinking, good night, Mongu's not this far away. And looking out the window, there's a big lake out there, and I look on the map, there's no lake by Mongu. Where are we at? I was way up in northern Zambia where there is nothing. And I can tell you that by testimony, there is nothing up there except a good old Catholic. And there's some of you here that maybe come from a Catholic background. I want to thank you for what you were doing for your missionaries in northern Zambia, because they had a little resort place and it was a tourist spot, and they had a runway, and very, very wealthy Europeans would come in there for a little retreat, and they had diesel fuel. I had to have diesel fuel to get that truck back down to that fork in the road and make the right turn. And guess what? I got to Mongu. I needed a signpost. There's some of you here today, and You high school students, I just want to bless you. I'm glad you're here in a church. You're in a place where there's signposts all around. You're at a great time in life to be looking at which path do I want to take? And I'll guarantee you, we all know there's all kinds of voices coming at us about take this path, take this path. This is how you define yourself. Let's do this. But a long time ago, David wrote, he said, "The signposts of the Lord are clear, making the right road right, pointing out the right road." What hope we have that God wants us to know which path to take. And the signposts of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The third one, the precepts, the life maps that we have are right. They show us the way to joy. One of the things that I'm convinced of, after living in Africa, we had 905 different languages, 905 different people groups that I got to work with. And you know what? I believe each one of those languages, each one of those people had a unique message that God wanted them to hear from Him. And they do reflect Him in a little different way. Bimbas are different than Lamas. Lamas are different than Swahilis. They're different than the Digo. They're different than, that's just the way it works. I believe that God loves diversity. And all I have to do is take you to the game park. Because when we get in the game park, I'll guarantee you there's a difference between a hippo and a giraffe. You know, God, to His glory, wants to have a life map that is unique to every one of us in this room. And what we get is we get the joy of discovering what His story, what His life map is for you. And the psalmist, David, sitting out there on the hillside of a hill, he said, you know what? The life maps of the Lord are right. They're showing me the way to joy. We heard from the Jeremettes, seeing those little kids. I will guarantee you, I know what they've been told. There's somebody around their life saying, why in the world did you take those little kids halfway around the world and live in Central Asia? What are you trying to do? Are you responsible or what? You're hurting those kids. Well, I've had that said to us, and here's what I would tell them. I said, you don't know. If you could come and be with us, yeah, we don't have water, we don't have electricity, we've had all kinds of diseases, I got several parasites that really like me. But on that life-mapped road, it takes me to joy that I'd find nowhere else. You know, He's trustworthy. He speaks, and He wants us to discover the joy that only He can define. And so, first of all, we have the worlds around us that display His glory. Secondly, the Word before us as the means of our transformation. But then finally, the witness within us. You see, as David thinks, he says, all that God wants to say is so big, and His word that is so compelling, it's drawing me to Him, and he's experiencing that. He then gets to the last part of the psalm where it gets really serious. It starts off on what's the value. More to be desired are these elements of God's word, His signposts, His life map, His revelation. More to be desired. These are more to be desired than gold, even 24-karat gold, the finest gold there is, and sweeter than honey. My guess is most of us in this room today are not real honey connoisseurs. There could be some of you. I mean, some of you know my son, Nate and Eric, and Nate lives in Manhattan, and Nate is married to a honey connoisseur. I mean, Ika knows her honey, and she will get the best honey she can find, and we get in on it. But I'll bet you in this room there's going to be more strawberry lovers than honey connoisseurs. And guess what? I just learned this morning, strawberries are already getting ripe. And some of you have been out there picking strawberries know that the little strawberries are the sweetest ones. And David was saying in his world, it'd be just like us saying, God's word is sweeter than those little, tiny, fresh, ripe strawberries that when you bite into it, oh boy, those taste good. And so the value of God's word, David explains it clearly. But not only Do we have the value? We have what God's word does in our lives. As God speaks, first of all, he warns us. Paul in Colossians chapter 1 said, that's what I do. All the time, with all the strength that God gives me, I am making Christ known. I proclaim him, warning everyone I meet. Now, I think we've got it wrong. I think there's some folks that believe me, I'm grateful for the street preachers. I know there's guys that do that, and God has used them. It's not the method that right now I'm doing that. And if God wants me to do that, he speaks my heart, I'll go out there and get on a street corner, and I'll warn people. But I tell you what, there are ways to warn people over a cup of coffee. There are ways to share a path that could be dangerous for life. And God's word says that he warns us. Secondly, not only does he warn us, he enlightens us. I got to be here Friday night and Saturday. I taught on history. And one of the things in history, as we learn from what Jesus was doing in his lifetime, you know, John captured it. He said to the woman at the well, he said to Zacchaeus, he says to all kinds of people, you don't know. We don't know. We can't invent it. We can't write the will, the mind, the heart of God. God shows it to us, and he says, I'm enlightening you. He warns us. He enlightens us. And then all of that guides David to the last verse. And here's what he says. He says, oh, Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Father, as I look at the heavens and all that you're trying to tell me through that, as I have your word and it's drawing me to yourself, as you're warning me and as you're enlightening me about yourself, oh, Father, would you transform my mind so that the words that come out of my mind are glorifying, are pleasing to you. The way that I think in my heart is right. That's where David wants to lead us today. Let me lead us in a closing word of prayer as we think about Psalm 19. Father, I thank you that you're not a God who's silent. You are a God who speaks. And Father, we thank you that you want from all of creation, from the heavens, the worlds around us and above us and beyond us by thousands, millions of light years, there's still something coming from there to let us know you do exist. And Father, not only that, you've given us your word that draws and transforms us. We come to you today. And Father, I pray today that the witness of your spirit in each one of our hearts, that Father, that you would continue to lead us in a way that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart are acceptable and pleasing to you. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.